Well, this morning we get to continue into the second week of our Discipleship Pathway series. This series we're walking through just different passages in Scripture, looking to equip the church to know what it looks like to walk together with Jesus. And so this week, as we look on discipleship, we're talking about discipleship in Sunday mornings. What does a Sunday morning have to do with our own spiritual formation? What does Sunday morning have to do with our growth? And so let me paint a picture for you of why it's important through a news report. It says, at about 1:30 in the morning on March 26th of this year, the MV Dolly, a container ship departing the port of Baltimore, struck a support tower of the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, Maryland, causing the bridge to collapse into the Patapsco River. The collapse of the bridge killed 6 workers. I had the privilege of living outside of Baltimore for a bit, and this bridge in Baltimore is a spectacle for its people. It's a piece of pride. It's a bridge that shows like they're a big port city. And a month back, there was a ship going at, you know, a rocking 8 to 9 miles an hour, real slow. But 95,000 tons of work went right into a pillar. That pillar, as it was decimated, created a big problem for that bridge. It collapsed. As we look at 1 Timothy 3, as Paul's communicating to Timothy, he's saying the church is a pillar and foundation for the Christian life. And if the church is decimated, the foundation of the church body is at stake. A Sunday morning gathering, coming together as the church, is a pillar in our life, a pillar that we need. If a church is compromised, if a church is wavering, if a church collapses, the household of people within that church are left to collapse as well. Coming together week after week is an important rhythm in the life of a believer. We don't always feel that. We don't always think that. Maybe theologically, sometimes we might think, we can probably work around church attendance. You know, to the hunter, it's like, man, the outdoors, that's me and God. That's where we meet. We'll try to come up with different reasons why showing up faithfully maybe isn't necessary. But as we look at Paul's words, an older pastor preaching at a younger pastor, what he's saying is actually, you getting together often matters because the church is a pillar, a foundation in the life of a believer. The church gathering brings people together, it knits people together, it holds people together, and it upholds the household of God. And in this culture, in this day, in this time, in this era, in every culture, in every day, in every time, in every era, we've always needed that pillar in our life. From the time that the early church started, right after Christ went to be with the Father, the Holy Spirit is just infused into the life of the early church. From that point to where we're at here today, 2,000 years later, we've needed the church and the church gathering, a Sunday morning or whenever the church happens to be meeting. That sort of meeting is important because it's a stabilizing feature and requirement for our life. I think as we look around us, as we live life in our workplaces, live life as college students, live life as young parents, we see that and feel that. The traditional family unit currently is getting blown up a bit. There's an identity crisis unfolding. Sexual, cultural, societal norms, Judeo-Christian norms are shifting. The post-COVID world is different than the pre-COVID world. I think we feel that. We see that. It's an election year. If you're a Cardinals fan, you're looking at the NL Central, man, you guys are at the bottom already. Like 15 games in and y'all are sitting at the bottom. We need stabilizing support. We need a pillar, right? If you're a baseball fan, you're like, man, it's going to turn around, I promise. But we need a stabilizing support because we look at our world, we live our lives, and we see that the world is wavering. We have our own tempted hearts. You know, some would say that it's it's spiritual warfare. As we look at God's word, it is spiritual warfare that's going on. It's not just these things that are showing up in our days now that are kind of things that just happen to be. No, from the beginning, it's been a fight of spiritual warfare. The Holy Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, versus the unholy Trinity, right? The flesh, the world, the devil. There's war at hand, and we feel that. And a Sunday morning, coming together as a church, is a pillar that we need because of it. And so in 1 Timothy 3, that passage that was read, Paul doesn't really expound much on what it looks like to be a faithful church. He just says it's a pillar that we need. And so this morning, as we're together, we're going to be looking at this topic of how the gathering is a pillar to stabilize our life. How the gathering, how coming together on a Sunday morning is a pillar to stabilize our life. And as we do so, we're going to walk through Ephesians 4 and see exactly what that looks like. And so let's pray together and begin to unpack that text. Lord, we thank you that we can come together, Lord. Sometimes it might feel monotonous. Sometimes it might feel unnecessary. But as we look at your word, Lord, we see that it's called a pillar. Your church is a pillar. And Lord, as we open up your book, your inerrant word, I pray that it would guide us to understand the importance of meeting together as a body, Lord, so that we could grow in the likeness of you, that we could be a light and witness in the world. In Jesus' name, amen. We'll go ahead and turn to Ephesians 4. That's where we're going to be for our time together this morning. And in Ephesians 4, the first 16 verses, we're going to be looking at three different structural pieces that kind of build out why the church is a pillar, why coming together on a Sunday morning is a need in our life. And so this first structural purpose we're looking at is that the church gathering is something that reorients us to God. Let's look at Ephesians 4, verses 1 to 6. I, therefore, that's Paul speaking, a prisoner for the Lord. If you don't know much about Paul, he was a man who often was imprisoned for the Lord. I urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. One commentator has stated that the first three chapters of Ephesians deal with doctrine or our riches in Christ. The last three chapters explain the duty and responsibilities that we have in Christ. As we look at Ephesians 4, we can see Paul is giving some responsibilities to the early church. As we look at verse 1, he's communicating to those in Ephesus, I, therefore, a prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. He's asking the early church to say, hey, look, you've been following after Christ. You're maybe raising your hand and praising the Lord in worship. But you're not just called to sing his name. He's urging them to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you have been called. And to what purpose? Let's continue. He says, with all humility, with gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. To maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When we come together on a Sunday morning, it's just not to be sung to. Or if you love singing on Sunday morning, it's not just to sing. When we come together on Sunday morning, it's not to just be urged by some pastor saying some nice things that all rhyme. Though those might happen, they might be a part of it. When we come together, there's something deeper that's happening. Paul says, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. When we come together on a Sunday morning, we're taking part in this reorienting of where our lives have been busy, or our lives have been frustrating, or our feelings have been this, or our family's been like that, and this thing has been going on, and we feel that coming into a service, and then we get here, and as we come together, we get to be reoriented. We come before a holy triune God, and we get to be reoriented. And that is a pillar sort of thing in our life. A church service is a time where the Lord is reorienting us to Him. And we need that reorienting. The first structural purpose of the gathering is that it reorients us with God, because it unifies us to Him. Let's continue in verses 4 to 6. It says, "There is one body and one spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." When we come together on a Sunday morning as an individual or as a family, as a faith family as well, we're experiencing this time where we're reoriented to one God. He talks about there being one faith, one baptism, one hope. When we come together on a Sunday morning, it's a reorienting time so that we can all be under the one Lord and the one salvation that we have in Him. The Spirit uses a church gathering in a specific way to help us focus on the Lord. And again, we need that reorienting. This reorienting isn't something just to, oh, we all reorient to this idol right there, you know, the God of guitar. Like, we don't just reorient to something that's stationary. We don't just reorient to the God who created us, and it's like He's distant, He doesn't care about us, He just dropped us on the map and said, just go, humans, we'll see what happens. As we reorient to a God who loves us, who's for us. Right? That's what we see at the end of verse 6. It says, "One God and one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all." When we come together, we get to experience a reorienting moment before a God who cares. And we need that in our lives. We're forgetful, drifting creatures that need reoriented to God. Up on the screen is a quote by D.A. Carson. He says, "People do not gravitate toward godliness, prayer, obedience to Scripture, faith, and delight in the Lord. We drift toward compromise and call it tolerance. We drift toward disobedience and call it freedom. We drift toward superstition and call it faith. We cherish the indiscipline of lost self-control and call it relaxation. We slouch toward prayerlessness. We slide toward godlessness, and we convince ourselves that we've been liberated." There's a lot of drifting that can happen from one Sunday morning service to the next one, right? So if we get out of service at, you know, Lord willing, 12:15 today, don't preach too long. If we get out at 12:15 today and you show up next week at 10:45, there's a lot of stuff that can go on between being at this service and being at the next one. If that's true, if we're drifting creatures, there's a lot that can happen in 167 hours. We can run ourselves into a lot of sin. We can make a lot of foolish decisions. Like for me, young dad can be impatient with my son, not be understanding with my wife. Most of our sin that we commit probably happens outside of this time. Whatever that said sin struggle is, that thing that you're embarrassed about or feel shame about or feel guilty about, those sort of things usually happen outside of these walls. Sometimes they might happen in these walls, but a lot of times it's beyond the walls. And so as we come together, it's a reorienting time before a God who cares about us, and we need that reorienting because by the time we get to the next week, we've drifted. We're drifters, we're drifters, we're drifters, we're sinners, we're drifters. We get off course over and over and over again. Culture's coming at us. And that's why we need the pillar. We need to have this rhythm and gathering in our life so that we can be reoriented to a God who cares about us, a God who loves us, a God who, in the middle of our misguided nature, a God who's ready to guide us. The gathering is a necessity in the life of a believer. It's a reorienting device for a drifting people to be in step with the Spirit and on path with the Lord. Maybe this morning you're forgetting your values. Maybe this last week you've been hard on your kids. You've heckled your spouse. You've had a bad attitude at work. You've lost vision. You've lost purpose. Maybe that's been your week. The beauty of coming back together, we get to be reoriented. Even in the middle of that, we get to be reoriented before the Lord. So the first structural purpose of the church gathering is that it reorients us before God. Second purpose of a church gathering is that it reminds us of Jesus' gift to us. Let's read verses 7 to 10, Ephesians 4. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. God the Father planned out a gift of salvation through his Son. That plan of salvation was a move and action of grace. We are people that need grace. We're broken people. Genesis 3, right? There's the fall that happens. We're broken people. Ever since then, we've been drifting. And so we need grace from the Lord in order to be unified and walking with him. And so as we look at verse 7 here, but grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. We have to see that as a special thing. God has gifted us with grace through salvation. God the Father had this plan. God the Son executed it. As we continue in these verses, we see what he was doing. Grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. And in saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower regions of the earth? Let me explain that. As it's talking about when Christ ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. In Acts 1, we see Jesus going to be with the Father. And he says, hey, you just wait, early church, like the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you. Holy Spirit sends gifts so that they can be a live witness to all the people in that community of God alive and at work, even though God the Son had died, had been resurrected, and went to be with the Father. Is that the Holy Spirit brings gifts to men and women so that they could be a witness. But even before that gift was given, Christ had already done a special gift on the cross. So verse 9 is talking about, and saying he ascended, what does it mean but that he also descended into the lower regions of the earth? The gift that Christ gave to us, broken people, is that he atoned for our sin. He was the blood sacrifice on the cross. That's what Easter weekend is all about. He did that for us. And so as it's talking about, like, he ascended and descended, he went to the grave so that he could be brought back from the dead, so that our sin could be forgiven, so that we could be united with God, that we could be part of his family, filled with his Spirit. So Christ descended, see that in verse 9, into the lower regions of the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. The cross happens, the grave happens, the resurrection happens. He goes to be with the Father. The Spirit is sent, and what does the Spirit do? But the end of verse 10, fills people with all things. It's the Spirit filling the people of God. And so this is called the Great Exchange. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, it's talking about the gospel work of Christ. For our sake, he, that's God, made him, the Son, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. This is why Sunday mornings matter. When we come together on a Sunday morning, this is a special reminder, a weekly rehearsal, that God has done that for us, that we have this gift of salvation in Christ. And that's a beautiful thing. And so we come back together week after week after week to rally around it. Like that's our anthem. That's our mantra. It's we need Jesus, and hope is found in Jesus. We're broken people, and God gave us a way back to him through a relationship with Jesus. And so as we come together, we got to remember that each service is worth it and matters because each service is a rehearsal of the story of hope. God the Father sent his only Son to pay for our brokenness so that we'd be forgiven, adopted, filled, and formed. Up on the screen is going to be a series of graphics that kind of explain how we do services here to try to communicate that gospel message clearly, consistently. Okay, the first portion of our service is a lot of that reorienting piece. As we go into our lives throughout the week, the 166 and a half hours that we aren't here, we're the scattered church. We're churchgoers, maybe we're church members, followers of Christ. We're the scattered church. We're in our workplace, you're in your dorm room, you're talking to the professor, you're getting reamed by your boss because you did that thing wrong. Like, that's all the scattered church, living life. And then we come back together on a Sunday morning and we have a call to worship. It's to reorient us before the Lord. The scattered church becoming the gathered church. So we have a call to worship. It's from the word. Well, it's a lot of times it's from Psalms. Read something from the Psalms to ready our hearts to worship. Then we have a song of creation or a song of celebration. This morning it was holy, holy, holy. It's like, hey, let's reorient ourselves. We're before a holy God together. Let's all sing it. And we sang it together. After that, a lot of times we'll have a time of confession or adoration. Sometimes that might feel awkward. It's like, what? The guy leading worship just said something about, like, you might have sin in your life. Bring that before the Lord. Like, that's a time where it's like, all right, here we are, Lord. Let me bring those burdens before you, those sins before you, before your word is going to sharpen me. From there, we'll do a song of fall. Much of the gospel is this four-part series, right? There's creation, Genesis 1 and 2. There's the fall, Genesis 3 through now. The fall, meaning we fell away from God. We're broken. And so the second song, a lot of times, is sad. People might be tearing up during that one because it's like reminding us that we're broken people. After we get done with that, a lot of times there's a prayer. We read the words, that we start with the word. There's a message preached that serves as a reminder, typically. It's reorienting us too, yes, but it's a gospel reminder. Each week, the sermon, if it's preached right, is a gospel reminder in some way. Then we do a time of communion. We do this every week at Anthem, not to be monotonous or annoying, but to keep it simple. God gave us a symbol, his body, his blood. And so we go back to it and remember, man, if we got any joy in life, if we got any vision and purpose in life, any foundation in life, it's found here in the work of God, what Christ did on the cross. Following that, we'll have a song of redemption. That's the third part of the gospel. Christ went on our behalf so that we could be reunited with God. Okay, we live in a fallen world, but a beautiful thing is we can experience redemption, be walking with the Lord through the work of Christ. And so a lot of times there's a song of redemption, and then we end with restoration. Restoration is this glorious thing where we get to be with God in full someday in glory. Right now we can experience that in part because of the indwelling Holy Spirit, but someday it's going to be in full because we're not going to be living in a broken world anymore. And so we end with a song like that, and then we're commissioned. And the whole goal and hope of this pillar of a service that each service ought to be is to bring restoration to an individual, maybe someone giving their life to Christ, restoration to an individual that maybe has been walking with Christ for years but needed challenged and encouraged. It's restoring people there. It's restoring the whole church body, maybe. Maybe there's been stuff that went on in this way or that way. Or people are struggling with fear because, like, what are we going to do for a building in the future? Like, it's a place where it's like, man, even though fill-in-the-blank thing's going on, we can come together and be restored. As a Sunday mornings matter. Something that I've really tried to personally model and communicate with the worship team and worship leaders specifically is that every service matters. Every service, every Thursday night matters. Every Sunday morning matters. Because every Thursday night and every Sunday morning, there's a real good chance that there's somebody here who hasn't heard the gospel. They don't know the good news. They don't know that creation, fall, redemption, restoration piece. And so every service matters because we're re-communicating that through how we meet. And so, you know, you can't, if you're playing keys, you can't be sloughing off some week and just be like, oh man, this doesn't matter. Another service, like second service is usually lighter. Like, I'm just going to, you know, be half-hearted. Like, we don't want that on the worship team because we want to have this anticipation in our heart that every service is so important, that every piece of this service is so important at communicating the gospel, that we need to aim for clarity, authenticity, passion, compassion. That's for a worship leader. That's for the pastor. That's for the attender. I mean, I believe you guys should be singing loud and joyful so that people around you, maybe they're not walking with the Lord. They're like, man, something's different in that lady. She's just singing like loud and full of passion. It might not even be like good and glorious, you know, to your ear. But she's like, man, I love the Lord and I'm going to sing about that. Every person who's committed following after Christ, every Sunday morning service matters. Every Thursday night, every Wednesday night. They all matter because they're retelling this beautiful gospel story. I was a big Michael Jordan fan growing up, and he had this philosophy that every arena he went into, he was going to play 110%, full throttle, no questions asked. Because he had this mental picture of at each arena he's at, there's some kid who's never seen Michael Jordan play before. And if he's so good, like, they better watch him play so that they can see the greatest show on earth. That was his mentality, and I think we ought to have that mentality for our Sunday mornings. No matter our role here, we should show up with that anticipation where it's like, man, this is a work of God that's happening. I get to be a part of it. And so here I am, 110%. I'm going to sing. I'm going to be really kind to the people that are walking in the door. As we exit, I'm going to try to just get to know someone new. I'm going to try to, if I'm doing coffee bar, like make the coffee extra good. Maybe, you know, a couple extra beans. You know, I think we can have such a different picture of church when we look at it through that lens. The gathering matters because it stabilizes the Christian, because it invites the lost into understanding the gospel story. Every service matters. The third structural purpose of a church gathering is that it restores us through the Holy Spirit. You can see this in verses 11 to 16. And he, that's the Lord, gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. The first thing that's helpful to see as we look at 11 to 13 is that there's a cadence and flow here. In verse 11, we see that the Lord's gifted a church leaders. To a church, he gives some with apostolic nature, prophetic nature, evangelistic nature, shepherding nature, teachering nature. God gives a church leaders to lead. So we look at verse 12, it shows the function of their leadership, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. And that leads into verse 13. To what end? Until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Do we see that? We're to have Spirit-led leaders that are coming in here on a Sunday morning, that are, if they're leading a community group, going into a community group, if they're having a one-on-one, in a one-on-one, walking with people to equip them for ministry, to equip them so that they would build up the body of Christ. And what's the end and hope with that? Is that the Spirit would be leading people along to maturity in womanhood and manhood before the Lord. And so when we come together on a Sunday morning, it serves this structural purpose of restoration. The outcome of the Holy Spirit's work is us being restored. Do we want to experience healing in broken relationships? Do we want to experience vision and direction where we're lost? Do we want to experience unity where there's been conflict? Do we want to have wisdom on decision-making? As we come together as a church body, as the Spirit is working, it's bringing restoration in those areas. As we bring those things before the Lord, as we surrender those things to the Lord, His Holy Spirit does a restoring work. We can see this in 14 to 16, what it leads to, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. As we come together, verse 14 gets to happen, so that we may no longer be children. As we're coming together, we get to be in a position where it's like, all right, I'm going to go from maybe a child in the faith to a mother or father in the faith. I'm going to go from a very young convert at maybe 24 to, by the time I'm 25, growing in maturity, growing in the likeness of God. When we come together, that sort of restoration gets to happen. We can go from a child in the faith to a father and mother in the faith, maybe a grandparent in the faith. You know, if you're making disciples and those disciples start to make disciples, like, you could be a grandparent at 18 in that way, right? That's the Spirit at work. That's the Spirit alive, active, working through his church body, working through a Sunday morning, restoring us in those different areas of life where maybe we've been childlike. The Lord's working on our heart to grow in maturity there. It says as well in verse 14, so we may no longer be children, which are what? Tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine. Right? We hit on this at the beginning. We live in a world that's easily wayward. We live in a culture that is competing for our attention. But when we come together, part of the restoring work of the Holy Spirit is that where there maybe is waves in the world, or maybe where there's been waves in our own life because of this or that, we get to be grown in maturity before Christ. That's what verse 15 is talking about. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. We get to come together and grow. How do we grow? Through the work of the Holy Spirit. So when we come together on a Sunday morning, it matters, because that's where we get healed. That's where we get renewed. That's where we get transformed. Sunday is a pillar of restoration in our life, because when people meet together with God, children in the faith can become parents in the faith. When we come together before the Lord, we can grow up in every way in him. Any given church service in any given community in any part of the world is a special, special thing. It is a localized and a specific, unique interaction with a God that's alive. My brother, Nate, lives in Zambia. As he is gathering for church today, that's a special, literal interaction with the living God. I have a brother in Florida. As he's meeting with other believers around him, he's having a literal and specific interaction with the holy God. They're being reoriented there. We're being reoriented here. We're being reminded the gospel here. They're being reminded the gospel there. Every service, every place matters, because it's all an intentional and localized, specific work of God. And we need that interaction. We need a localized and literal encounter with the holy God. In the middle of a lost world and society, we need that sort of interaction. NFL Sunday ticket allows us to watch any football game we want. Football, great, it's fun. Go Chiefs. But a Sunday NFL ticket isn't gonna reorient us with God. And yeah, you could argue that, oh, well, if I went with a friend who also loves Jesus, we could go to the game and get there early, and you know, we can be reoriented to Christ with one another. And it's like, yeah, that's awesome. You're both are believers. Have fun. Good. But when it comes to the cadence in our life, if we just keep saying no to a gathering of believers so that we can satisfy ourselves in a way that just makes us happy, there's something missing there. If your kid is really good at a certain sport and there's traveling teams that it's always practice on Sunday morning, or it's always games on Sunday morning, yeah, you could probably figure out how to still be super gospel-centered during that phase. But let me tell you, a competing thing that's going to be going on there for that kid, they're going to be thinking, man, like, mom and dad see me playing baseball or me playing soccer so importantly that they're willing to sacrifice that thing that they always used to make me go to. And that's not to say that you can't ever have a kid on a traveling team on a Sunday morning. I'm just saying that's what's going to be competing in their heart. And so we got to think about, how are we looking at every gathering? It's an important place. It's a literal and specific setting that we get to have with the Lord. And we need it. It reorients us. It reminds us. It restores us. Sometimes I think we can say, all right, I just need a slow Sunday at home. It might be restful. A lot of times it's easy to treat a Sunday as a second Saturday and to treat a Saturday as, I just get to do whatever I want. And if we have that attitude towards Sunday mornings, that's going to have an impact on us. Because if Sundays really do reorient us, if they really do remind us, if through the Holy Spirit they really can restore us, then we just got to be thinking, what do I need to do to show up to that special Sunday service? Maybe you're from another church and you're just visiting today. Go to that other church faithfully and show up on Sundays there too, right? Let the Lord do a work in your heart where he has you, where the Spirit has led you to be involved at that place and be faithful. It is worth it to be faithful at showing up. Now, I just want to be clear, perfect Sunday attendance won't save us. Perfect Sunday attendance won't heal us. Perfect Sunday attendance isn't salvation, right? I heard a pastor say once, just because you go to McDonald's, it doesn't mean you're a cheeseburger. And just because you go to church, it doesn't mean you're a Christian. This is not the saving piece of our life. That's the gospel. That's a relationship with Jesus. But again, the special thing about the literal and specific and localized interactions that we get with the Lord in places, churches, all around the world. That is beautiful, because as we come together, we are reoriented to a holy God who has the power to speak, and the storm is calmed. So we have our things that make life feel like crazy, and the different things that are happening in culture that make us feel like, man, we really need that pillar, and those things are going on. And there is something peaceful and life-giving about showing up in the household of God. Why? Because we are under the leadership, Christ the head, we're under the leadership of the one who spoke and the storms ceased. As his disciples were there, they were in the middle of the sea, waves were big, they're freaking out, Jesus is sleeping. He wakes up and he just speaks and the storms are calmed. Sundays can restore us through the work of the Holy Spirit. What's the next intentional step in your life when it comes to the Sunday gathering? Sundays are for our formational moments in our life as believers. Sundays are a stabilizing pillar for our discipleship. There's something about being together, singing together, having rhythms together as a community that leads to our growth. What's the Spirit of God impressing on your heart to be restored in today? Maybe this morning you're on team lost and there's a name change that needs to happen. Maybe it's going from team lost to team found, and you've been wavering and you're confused and you've been trying to live for this thing and it's not working, and you keep trying to satisfy all the different hungers of your life, or looking into this religion or that thing, and you've been searching and searching and just not finding. Maybe this morning it's going from team lost to team found. And just to clear the air in the room, if you are on team lost right now, don't feel too out of place, because everybody who's on team found in the room, I said this on Thursday night, everybody who is on team found, they once were on team lost. We're not born into the faith following Jesus. There's real salvation work that has to happen in each believer to become a believer. So if that's you this morning, by the grace of God, I think that's a beautiful thing that you need to surrender before him today. I'm lost, I'm wandering. John 3:16 says something about God loving the world so much that he sent his son for me. I think I need to surrender to God. Maybe there's a name change. Others this morning, maybe you say, I made that commitment a long time ago. Maybe there's a perspective change that needs to happen. Matt's talked about how, man, we got to look at Sunday as fun day. A lot of times we can look at Sunday and think, man, that's the end of the week to just mop up all of our problems. And it might serve that purpose. But what if we started to look at Sunday with this anticipation that it's like, man, that's the launch of my week. That's starting my week so that I can go forward in faithfulness into the workplace, into the home, into those hard conversations. And so if we're going to make Sunday a fun day, maybe it's trying to figure out how to help Saturdays be a little bit more restful or provide just more time focusing in on the word that's going to be preached. And that is a hard one to do. I've tried, and my wife could like second this. I've tried to make that happen on Saturdays. Like, all right, let's try to like do well, stay focused on Saturday, ready our heart for Sunday. But maybe that's a perspective change that needs to happen, looking at Sundays with anticipation and excitement. With that sense of wonder that this is a literal, localized work of God. Maybe it's a frequency change. Maybe it's going from one or two times a month to three or four times a month. Again, church attendance, it's not salvation. The elders of this church are not looking at a list like keeping attendance. God's not up there keeping attendance. But again, there is something about the more we interact with one another, the more we put ourselves before this holy God, the more he can shape us. Maybe there's a frequency adjustment. Maybe there's a depth change. You're like, man, I'm here every week. And maybe it's just engaging in a different way. It's bringing a Bible. It's taking notes. Or maybe it's engaging before or after service just a little bit more. Trying to help people feel welcome. Trying to help be the light of Christ to fellow believers, to people who are searching. Maybe it's a depth change. Maybe it's an investment change. We do Anthem Basics church membership because we believe that when people move from friend to family in faith, we get to hold each other a little bit more accountable. The elders have a little bit better idea who's calling this church home so that we can best lead those people, imperfectly lead those people, but do our best in helping people seek after Christ. And so maybe there is some sort of investment change where it's like, man, I'm just not going to call this a community that I attend or show up to, but it's a community that I'm going to get involved in and invest back. Maybe that's you this morning. Maybe there's a contribution change. Maybe you've had just conviction from the Spirit to be more involved in serving on a Sunday or be more involved throughout the course of the week. Maybe there's a change that needs to happen there. Maybe a contribution change, meaning generosity towards the church. The Lord uses giving as a way to keep us humble as people. And maybe there's a contribution change that needs to happen in your life this morning. The Lord loves a cheerful giver. Maybe he's working on your heart. Every church service is a pillar that stabilizes our life to build us up as a body of Christ. And every service, man, does it matter? Week after week after week, it might feel monotonous. But it matters because it's each a retelling of the great gospel story. For those who are Christians, the gospel story that saved us. For those who aren't Christians, the gospel story that is hope for you. As we close together, I'm going to read Hebrews 10, 19 to 25. This is rich in explaining the gospel. It's rich in helping us understand why we need to be here. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the holy places by the blood of Jesus, by the new and living way that he opened for us through the curtain, that is through his flesh, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, with our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast, that's pillar language, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful, and let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works, not neglecting to meet together as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Let's pray together, Anthem Church. Lord, we love you. We thank you that you have a holy written word to help guide us thousands of years beyond the days you were walking the earth, Lord. I pray that as we come together week after week, we would have those humble and surrendering hearts. And if we're followers of you, God, that we'd see cultures around us, societies around us. It might be moving slow. It might affect us in slow ways here, slow ways there, God. But Lord, if we're believers, would we see that you have a design and specific plan, blueprint for your church? And God, would we see that plan is that it's a pillar to uphold your people, God. Lord, there's different ways that you're working in each heart in this room. We all have different journeys, stories behind us, and therefore all probably have different things that you're looking to shape us in, God. Maybe it's restoration for someone the first time experiencing a relationship with you, God. Maybe it's an adjustment, it's a tuning of the dial, a change of perspective, a change of engagement. Lord, I pray that we'd have open hands and open hearts to you doing a work in our life. Lord, we love you and we need you. In Jesus' name, amen.